Honourable Members, Honourable Members, good morning. Mr. Clifton, I understand that Mr. Tonalson is on the way. Will he be presenting?
I just want him to open the discussion, but he should be anywhere.
Okay. Honourable Members, I think that I'm informed that Mr. Tonalson, the TPG, is on the way. Please let us wait for him so long, and the other members are not here yet, but we're not going to wait for them because we don't have apologies from them, except from the chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriation, Honorable Chan. He said that he will be joining us a little bit late. But be that as it may, may I take this opportunity to officially welcome Honorable Yengene, who has joined us. Honorable Yengene, you are welcome. This is your committee. You are a full member of this committee like any other member, and I'm sure you will help us. You will assist us. Your presence will really be of assistance to us. The pity that now on your first day when you come, we'll be delaying the time of starting. Okay. We're going to be starting now. But you are welcome. And thank you very much for joining us. Some members sometimes have difficulty in joining this committee. They think that it's a committee of chartered accountants. No, this is a committee of activities like any other committee. So we're not counting money here. Unless Mr. Donaldson, I see he's carrying a bag, unless the bag has got money, maybe we'll start accounting. But thank you very much, and special welcome to Honorable Ngobo, who has been a member of this committee. And thank you very much for your contribution, Comrade Ngobo, for all the time you have been part of this committee, and we congratulate you on your appointment as a whip. Of the Committee of Finance. Honourable Members, we are joined by our colleagues from the NCOP. As I indicated, that Comrade Chan is a bit late, but he will be joining us. Honourable other members of the committee are here. But as you know, Comrade BA is here, the Chairperson of Finance, but he's here in his capacity as the member of Appropriation, not in his capacity as the Chairperson of Finance. You're welcome. Mr. Donaldson, we did get the apology. Welcome to this first meeting and your team. Without any much ado, Honourable Members, the time now is almost quarter to. We need to start. We're not going to wait. We need to start. We have the copies in front of us, I hope, of the third quarter of the year 2010-2011. I'm sure our guest from National Treasury will take us through this report. We are a bit lucky because we're going to hear the report at the end of the second quarter. Things are a bit late because we're dealing with MTVTS appropriation, and there was difficulty, in fact, in having a special meeting for the report on the third quarter report. And it's a question that, as a standing committee, I guess the select committee as well, that is grappling with, that in case where, for instance, we're not able to deal with a report, how do we handle the establishment of these committees in terms of Section 4.4 of the Money Bills Procedures and Related Matters Act says one of the responsibilities of this committee is to look at the expenditure patterns as well. Now, if we are confronted by a situation where we're not able to deal with a particular quarterly report, are there legal implications or what? I'm saying it's a question that we're trying to grapple with. Maybe your advice at some time will also be important for us. Well, having said that, Honorable Mili, as you walk in, you are officially welcome to this committee. I know that we were with you last week in the strategic planning meeting. Of course, we did receive Honorable Yemene's apology, but she was not well at the time. We're glad that she is back. Mr. Donaldson, at this stage, can I hand over to you?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This is, I think, a tidier format of the report than we've had before. This is work in progress, as members of the committee will know. To give a bit of background, the Section 32 reports, which provide monthly information on departmental spending, do so only at a very high level of aggregation. Those of you who've looked at those reports will know that they give the total spending by a department broken down by the main large categories. At the committee's request some time ago, we started developing the capacity to provide more detail, and that's what this quarterly report does. We also recognized that the format of the Appropriation Act should be the point of departure for reporting to this committee. In retrospect, it is important to recognize that required a considerable change to our systems. The systems are geared to provide information according to the GFS classification, the structure of the estimates of national expenditure, and quite a bit of the detail that is in the Appropriation Act on transfers to particular institutions and sub-programs. That has required building additional capacity. We haven't got there yet in the sense that we are not yet fully able to align these reports, these details broken down by program with the Section 32 reports. They come through different streams, and we are conscious that we're not yet at the stage where we have integrated reporting that we can that we can be fully confident in. But we're certainly making progress in going through these numbers. We certainly can point to some questions about things that we would need to go back to departments to get more information on. And you, I'm sure, also in going through these numbers, will pick up things that need further explanation. And at this stage, we will not be able to answer all your questions. There'll be things where we'll have to say, well, we're unsure about that as well, and we may need to go back to departments and develop a capacity for departments to contribute to this process. But that's part of the learning process here. I'm going to ask Mr. Clifton to give an overview of the numbers. At an aggregate level, the picture is healthy. Spending of about 73% by national departments at the end of the third quarter is about what one would want to target for. You always get a bit of a pickup.
I'm sorry, Mr. Donald. Honourable members, if I may check with member, do we have this report from National Treasury? Do you have copies of the report? Or of the report? One is the one that contains figures, the other one contains the report that Mr. Donaldson is speaking to. Have you got the two, what they call the documents, all of us?
Okay.
I'm sorry, in my concern.
Okay, we have a few extra copies.
We have some
extra copies if they are needed. So the overall position of about 73% of spending by the end of the third quarter is about right, but department by department the position varies. In some departments spending is early in the year. Higher education, for example, has spent by this stage of the year something like 90% of their budget because the transfers to universities take place for the previous calendar year. And they don't transfer very much in the in the final quarter of the year. There are certainly a few departments, notably, and Ms. Clifton will give more information on this, in the infrastructure sector, water affairs, communications, where spending appears to be lagging behind what we would expect at this stage of the year. Let me also just mention, Mr. Chair, that and in your strategic planning session and workshop, last week was it? I know that you had from Treasury representation from the Budget Office, and you will have had some discussion of the format of the appropriation bill and some of the issues that we might want to come back to in thinking about reforms to both the format and the reporting arrangements, and I'm happy to take discussion on that or perhaps hear the views of the committee on those issues if there are points you'd like to raise with us. But can I ask Ms. Clifton just to provide a summary of what the numbers show?
Thank you, Chair. As you will notice, we do not have a PowerPoint presentation for the committee because there is a fairly summarized and concise report that we have tabled, and I'll be walking along with you this morning through the numbers that and the highlights of the report itself. So I'm glad to hear members have the report so we can just walk through it together. The purpose of tabling this for the Treasury is sort of twofold, is to improve, as Ms. Donaldson said, our ability for integrated reporting across different perspectives. There's the technical accounting perspective that our systems, in fact, cater very well towards for a very detailed structure based on the South African Charter of Accounts. And then there is the policy-based structure that is shown in the program budget structure of the Appropriations Act, and there are a series of sub-items there, like the earmarks, the conditional grants, and such like, that are more difficult to report on in the basic accounting system, and we are in the process of making sure we can report across different perspectives for different users. And so that's part of the reason for us developing and continuing to improve the format of this report. The other purpose, of course, is for the committee's benefit to, from a data sharing perspective, to share with the committee the spending figures on an in-year basis. At the moment, we're doing it quarterly with the committee, so that the committee has access to the a more detailed database than the Section 32, for example, provides, that breaks down every item based on the Appropriation Act and shows the year-to-date spending. Of course, it could also become more detailed than that, but that is the format. And we lay this report before the committee in terms of a summary and bringing out some of the highlights, but also provide the database in both the hard copy version, which the members have before them, so you can sort of glance through it and pick up trends yourself, looking at the percentages, but also in the Excel format, so that the researchers can start digging into, drilling down and analyzing the numbers and the trends directly. And then that should, of course, enable the committee to be even stronger in its engagements with departments, which I know you've been doing over the last couple of years. Let me start with the looking at the 10 largest votes based on the appropriation bill. The 10 largest votes, just pulling those out and looking at their spending trends, what you'll find, what's common amongst those votes, most of them, is that they are those national departments that actually do the direct service delivery themselves. You'll find that most of them are in the protection and justice cluster. As you know, the structure of national government is quite mixed. We have policy-making departments. We have departments that coordinate and oversee and jointly implement programs at the provincial level for concurrent functions. So we have a whole mix, and those departments will have much smaller budgets than the departments that are responsible for the direct service delivery in their core areas of competency, like, for example, the police, the Defence and Military Veterans Department, Correctional Services, Justice and Constitutional Development. Those are the big spending departments as far as the national budgets are concerned. If you look at some of those numbers, you'll see, for example, Correctional Services might be a little below par in terms of year-to-date spending at 65%. Military Veterans at 70%. Police always has a good record of spending at 72%, but that might be also a little lower than one might expect. Water Affairs, as Mr. Donaldson pointed out, the fifth largest vote in the bill, is at 61% of its spending. That department has a lot of infrastructure spending, which is often difficult to plan and execute according to the defined timeframes. The Home Affairs, spending at 64%, a little bit below what one might expect. International Relations at 65% of spending. Public Works, quite low at 50% of spending. We know about some of the challenges that department experiences. Again, infrastructure-focused entity. Statistics South Africa, also below what one might expect, at 50%, but there is a census underway, or the planning around the census is underway, and there have been some delays in executing some of those activities. Rural development and land reform, also at 67%. So when you look at these departments, the 10 largest departments, which are actually in control of their budget, they're not transferring it out as do many other national departments that are more policy-making, their spending trends are a little lower than the 75% year-to-date benchmark. On page 2 of 11, the next sort of perspective that we take is by looking at the 5 largest departments by compensation of employees, just looking at that line item and pulling out the departments that have the largest spend in that area. As you will see, it's the same group largely as the 10 largest, police, corrections, defense, justice. That makes sense, obviously, because these are all departments that have very large employ a large number of people, whether it's policemen or soldiers or correctional service officers. And spending in those areas is largely on track for what one might expect. That's one thing that you don't delay or defer is payment of personnel in most cases. Capital payments, we also look at that by the largest five departments. Police also shows up there. They build a lot of police stations. And public works, of course. Public works, you can see that this is that they're at 45% of spending year to date, quite low. That is obviously what's affecting the overall trend of public works, which is at 50%. The next section of the report goes into a sort of sectoral analysis and looks at selected votes and selected programs within each vote to pull out highlights for the committee that you can, for your notice, so that you can pursue that, these lines of inquiry further. Starting with vote 4, we've got Home Affairs. There is an underspending in the administration program, or a slower than expected spending of 55%. Apparently, this has to do with unspent funds for office accommodation, as well as contractual monthly commitments that did not materialize for the implementation of some of the ICT projects that the Home Affairs Department, the Department of Home Affairs is responsible for, in particular the Who Am I online project. Now, just as a side note, you'll notice that the Who Am I online project is shown here as an example of the underlying cause of underspending in the administration program one program. You might ask the question, why is a large ICT project budgeted under administration? I know the committee has raised this question before about administration programs that seem large, in relation to the department that the administration supposedly supports. This has been part of a review that the Treasury has undertaken to look at what is in Program 1, as well as the structures of all the other programs. We've spent some time with the Department of Home Affairs, and they did have reasons why they thought it was important to budget these large ICT projects in Program 1 and not in another one of their direct service delivery or enabling programs. And from 2011-12, I think you'll see a smaller program one, and more of that spending has been now allocated to the programs where that belongs. Who Am I belongs to Citizenship Services, or at least that's what that system supports, amongst other things, and it was probably better to be budgeted then in the under that program, since it supports the delivery of Citizenship Services. These are the kinds of questions that do arise when you start looking at the programs, whether it's program one in each vote or the various other service delivery programs, and understanding the content, what's really being budgeted for you, is it really showing us, or is the program really speaking to the policy objectives or the mandates or the activities of the department in a logical way. Let me skip ahead to public works. Public Works, as I pointed out earlier, has also got some slower than expected spending in the movable assets sub-program. That's where most of the office accommodation and other assets that Public Works manages are housed. Apparently, they're slower than expected spending due to a lack of sufficient technical and management capacity in the department for efficiently negotiating and implementing projects. This is one of the explanations the department has given. Let me skip ahead to... I'm not going to go through each vote. Let me stop with vote 9, National Treasury, at 69%, a little slower again than expected. There are a number of programs that Treasury is responsible for, over and above the core work of the Treasury, which is obviously the budget and economic policy. There are a number of programs like the Neighbourhood Development Grant that is housed in the Treasury, where spending has been a little slower than expected. I know it's been an ongoing program where spending has been slower on an ongoing basis over the years. The Infrastructure Development Improvement Program is also something that is administered out of by the Treasury. And there is a the reason for under or slower than expected spending there is that drafting of contracts are taking substantial amounts of time, and provinces generally are having difficulty meeting minimum qualifying criteria. There is a possibility of slower than expected spending by the end of the year of between 2 and 3 billion rand in this grant. Another cause of slower than expected spending in Treasury is the integrated financial management system implementation. In one of the programs where the Office of the Accountant General is housed, there's also been slower spending because of the difficulty in attracting suitable candidates for public sector accounting functions in that office. I know that the Accountant General has been pursuing that vigorously with internship programs, with making partnerships in the sector with the regulatory boards and the accounting firms directly, and I know that they're making significant progress each year in attracting better financial managers and accounting and auditing professionals in the public sector. The Department of Health, I'm now on page 5 of 11, looking at slower than expected spending in the hospital revitalization program and in Love Life. Love Life is a HIV/AIDS conditional grant. And I was just going to flip over to the report for vote 15. And you'll see that for Love Life, I don't have a page number on that, but it is vote 15 in the more detailed report in the database. But Love Life has actually not spent any of its funds year to date. Yes. And the hospital revitalization grant also been is also one of those large infrastructure projects that's difficult to anticipate with delays in, and the spending on that is 61%. Last year, funds were there was a savings in that conditional grant by the end of the year because the funds couldn't be spent fully by the end of the year. So that might be something for the committee to follow up on for this year. Department of Basic Education, on page 6 of 11, looking at the slower than expected spending in Program 2, Curriculum Support and Monitoring. The spending in this program year to date is at 30%. The slow spending is the result of invoices that need to still be submitted and processed related to the printing and distribution of workbooks for grades 1 through 6 learners. Now, that is a significant project. The good news is, according to the department, that the workbooks have been printed, they are being distributed to schools, but there's an accounting glitch that's slowing not reflecting properly in the system the spending on these workbooks. Workbook 2, which is also budgeted in that program and also a cause of underspending, is still being developed and will be printed and distributed to schools when it's done. So on the one side, you've got perhaps an accounting problem, just a delay in processing invoices, but there is still an issue with the second workbook that's being developed, and something that should probably be followed up on. The Department of Higher Education and Training, there's in Program 5, Skills Development, it's a very small program. 30% of the budget in this program has been spent, 8 million of 26 million, as a result of the slower than anticipated formal establishment of the Quality Council for Trades and Occupations. That's a new entity that the department is standing up and is having some delays and some challenges with getting that fully operational in this fiscal year, and there might be some slower than expected spending as a result of that. Let me skip ahead to vote 21 now on page 7 of 11, looking at the Department of Defense. There is, in landward defense, spending is faster than expected at 81%. There's an accounting glitch that's caused some erroneous allocations against this program, but the main reason for that faster than expected spending is the expenditure on compensation for employees, which is at 80%, which is attributed to a new salary dispensation that was implemented in December 2009 and has had follow-through effects throughout the year. In programs 4, Air Defense, Program 7, Land Defense Intelligence, Program 8, General Support Programs. Now, these are experiencing slower than expected spending. The cause of that is that spending is being delayed in these programs on machinery, on infrastructure, on buildings and equipment, so that money can be saved in order to pay for the new salary dispensation across the board in the other programs. Let me skip ahead to Vote 24 Police. There's a very important program that's budgeted. There's a very important program that's budgeted in the police vote for the integrated justice system. This is a large ICT project that's been ongoing for years and years. In fact, I think it's more than 10 years in the making, this project. It is a very significant project around developing a whole series of systems, not just one, for integrated justice, for the justice system as a whole. It includes reviewing and improving the ICT systems of police and justice in particular, and correctional services. And this program has experienced some slower than expected spending as well. It's only spending at the year to date 21% of its budget. Apparently, this is the result of slow procurement by CETA. You'll find CETA and Public Works are mentioned in various places throughout this report, where the departments are able to displace the blame for slower than expected spending to a CETA or a Public Works, which are cross-cutting departments that support different functions in each area, where the departments conveniently find a scapegoat, that they haven't invoiced us, or they haven't delivered, or they haven't met their obligations, or whether those in fact are valid, is also something for all of us in the Treasury and the Committee side to investigate further. There is often that reference made in this report, whether it's to Public Works or to CETA, for slower than expected delivery or support to departments, and that's often used as the reason for the underspending. Also on page 8 of 11, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, you'll notice there's a common theme there whereby money was allocated to the department in the adjusted budget for emergency emergency responses to things like the classic swine fever and foot and mouth disease, or the registration of the farmer registration project. There was money, additional allocations made to the department in October, and you'll find that the underspending in this department is reflected as being caused by money that was allocated but unspent as quickly as that went unspent in the third quarter. So again, something to watch. If they were allocated the money on an emergency basis and it should have been spent then in an urgent manner, and it's gone unspent, something to look at. Of course, we're now, it might be in the fourth quarter that they've caught up with those, with spending in those important interventions. I'm going to skip ahead to Vote 26, Communications. Mr. Donaldson referenced that vote. There's the underspending in Program 5, ICT Infrastructure Development. Apparently, the 112 Emergency Call Center was closed down, even though it was allocated 111 million rand. there is a reference to the project being revived at this stage. So that's sending some conflicting messages that the committee might want to follow up on. Is it open? What is the status of the emergency call center? So year to date, I don't believe any funds have been spent against that program. Not that program, but that aspect of the program, the 112 emergency call center. For the Department of Human Settlements, the expenditure is on track largely and is driven by transfers to provinces by the department through the Human Settlements Development Grant, which is year-to-date spending 76% of its grant. That's good news, obviously, for the delivery of human settlements in provinces. However, the department is experiencing slower than expected expenditure in the rural household infrastructure grant at only 10% year to date. 100 million rand was budgeted, they've spent 10 million. This is a new program, and apparently there are challenges with normal startup processes. But again, that's an important intervention and something to pursue. Members, that concludes my inputs, pointing out some of the highlights that are contained in the report. This report is purposely concise and to the point. Hopefully it allows the members to actually identify and pursue specific issues that are, let's say, more important than other issues. And this is really just the accompanying document for the detailed database that is there for further reference and analysis that can be used to bolster some of your engagements with departments. Thank you very much.
Just before I hand over to colleagues, I would really have loved you to comment about the Department of Women, Children and what you call. If you remember, last year there was no report at all. Now, if you could just comment around it and the leadership at that level, what's happening around that, it would be useful.
Well, this report also does not contain information on that department. And although we understand that there is work in progress to develop financial management capacity, if not yet in place, they're not yet in a position to comply with the reporting requirements of the financial system.
Now, Mr. Donaldson, I would like you, for instance, to tell the committees that if they're not in a position to do that, what is the state of affairs? Is there an acting DDG or something, or the property at another department, or what is really happening? Because there are appropriated funds, and somebody must account for those funds.
We will need to get back to you on that, but I wouldn't want to speak without having cleared with their acting CFO what the position is.
Can I open now to the House?
I have noted. I'll start on my right hand side. Honorable Debiers, Honorable Mashile, Honorable Swart, Honorable Harablom, Honorable Mabon, Honorable Mashiko, Honorable Amasagad. Mantem, the valuables. Comrade Debiers.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for Treasury for this presentation. Actually, the people I want to ask a question to is not yet. That's the accounting officers. To Treasury, when you get the reports from the different departments, they supply you with the figures and a possible reason for not spending. Do you go as Treasury deeper into the reasoning for understanding? That's the first question. Excuse me. And then, Honourable Chairperson, it would be interesting to get the history of each department on a chart since we started in 2009 to get the trend of spending, to pick up where the problem actually lies, reading with that the report of the Auditor General on that specific department, the issues that will be raised then by the AG, to make our work more efficient and effective, to zoom into a department who is not spending on a program like Love Life, on hospital revitalization and the infrastructure grant. When we met with the Department of Health last year, it was mentioned to us the challenge between the Department of Health and the Department of Public Works when it comes to the hospital revitalization, who must actually go and do the work at a hospital like the one in Posmasbar or Jan Kemptor or what the case may be. And the root of the problem is that the national level teachers of departments meet in a structure. In provinces, HODs of the different departments meet in a structure on a weekly basis. But in regions, in the different provinces, it doesn't happen. So the line function from the provincial structure where HODs meet doesn't go down to grassroots. I did some research on my own and make the recommendations to the DG in my province regarding that. Because when we get this line functions right in terms of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, I think we will get a better performance at grassroots level. That is my experience since I came here, but it's quite disturbing when you look at the EPWP program, which is, as a matter of fact, according to the information in front of us, which is here, not before. That's only a remark from my side. But the question to Treasury, do you have a mechanism to go deeper into your department when they supply you with an answer regarding understanding, etc.? Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable members, I would like us to put questions to National Treasury by taking into account that the department, we will invite departments themselves to come and account with the details. But I understood the Honourable Premier's question to the role of National Treasury. In line with the responsibilities of National Treasury as spelled out in the public finance management act. So I understood your question to be raised in that context. Honorable Mashila.
Thanks, Chairperson. I actually also have almost a similar question. To really, but in my case, is the monitoring and evaluation department in the presidents. How do they link up with the product of treasury that talks to this spending? Because, I mean, it doesn't help really just simply to process information, produce a report, and then just raise your hands and say, I'm finished. And then it sits there on the table. The problem is, how does it go forward, and then when would be the monitoring and evaluation actually apply their minds on this and actually respond to the relevant departments? And I think that's what I just wanted to check, Chairperson, one of my things. But you see, to hear excuses from departments of public works, EPWP, they don't have technical capacity. When we have got a new growth path that talks to raising employment levels and also earmarking that as part of the key, then it is disturbing, and it may not need Treasury to respond to that, but what I'm actually just commenting is that really it raises quite a lot of eyebrows. It's when we have been identifying EPWP to be one of the tentative answers to our decent work program. But directly to Treasury, on page 4 of 11, there may not be the relevant people to respond, but directly to Treasury. The Treasury is telling us that slow spending on infrastructure development improvement program and is due to, I'll skip the rest, and say provinces generally not meeting the minimum qualifying criteria and limited number of appropriately qualified consultants available to provide technical assistance. Only nine provinces or nine partners or something like that. I really have a problem. I'm seeing this as an excuse, but not a serious reason. Unfortunately, I belong to an organization called Consulting Engineers of South Africa. With all the capacity that is in there, we can't have this excuse from Treasury. We can't have this excuse, because I know the capacity that is in that organization to be able to assist our provinces or departments in when it comes to technical assistance. And separately, as government, we are working hand in glove with DBSA as well for technical assistance. I really do have a problem with this particular reason that has been put in there. And the other thing as well, Chair, just to, because I think with the human settlements, I had one comment that talks to expenditure being recorded on the basis of transfers to provinces. Just immediately that the money has been transferred, and then that is recorded as expenditure. I think we had this discussion with Treasury, with the Auditor General, that we must come up with a mechanism of actually dealing with that, because all of this money that human settlements is boasting of having spent at 76%, you'll find that that money is still sitting in the bank account and not even 20% has been spent. Otherwise, we should not be having all these problems about squatters, about all these other things. And I think we have to actually look at our documents, that our own documents as government do not mislead ourselves. Thanks, Heaven.
I think if you could just put into context your last comment so that you can all understand, so that if the response doesn't come, we can be able to say the response, it has not been properly responded to.
Now, Chairperson, I know that, like as you said, that we need to ask Treasury questions directly, but the comment is in respect to human settlement. And right at the beginning of their report, I think they have tried to inform us that if we want to query, we must query the accounting officers in the relevant department. I think that I saw that one sentence right at the beginning. And then I started thinking, Chair, that probably maybe in future when we get this particular briefing, if it is possible, we must get even the HOD to come down. because it doesn't help. We just get this report, but then we can't ask them because they are in the end where they are reporting about other departments. But then we can't question them other than just simply getting an understanding of the figures only, but not actually what the figures talk to. We can talk to that. Mm-hmm. Possibly in future, maybe if it is possible, when we get this kind of a briefing, then we have, if we can't have all the department's accounting officers, maybe in the presidency, the monitoring and evaluation and the rest to be here, so that actually we are able to talk politics to the figures, because at the moment we can only talk the numbers with the treasury. Yes, we can only talk the numbers, whether it is reflected correctly or not correctly. And that's all what we can do. Just as a closing remark, Chairperson, what I just want to understand from treasury as well is, when they get the reports from the provinces, or I mean from the departments, is there anywhere where it is recorded, especially when it comes to expenditure, where the departments record, especially in the case of having received invoices, but that have not yet been processed? Because we may find that on the ground, the work that has been done and it has been charged to the department maybe 60%. But actual payment is 50%. Then you are not going to have a true reflection of what's happened. If the system does not report that, maybe we may start trying to consider extracting such information from the reporting department. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Page 6 of 11, the third last paragraph, you mentioned that there are 7 provinces that where you withheld monies. Can you give us the names of the 2 where you didn't withhold money? Of the 2 provinces. Then, if you read through this report, Chair, you find that there was a lot of adjustment to the budgets, the departments being granted this additional money. But they're finding it impossible to spend these monies. It's just not being spent. But we give more every time. They ask for more money and we give more, but it's not being spent. And it worries me, Chair, that these extra funds that the departments have been given have never been considered by this committee. My question is, should it not have been considered by the Finance Committee and this committee in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Act? Because the budget is a money bill act, and I'm concerned about the legality of the current budget and also the new budget we're going into, that it doesn't conform to the prescriptions of the money bills and related to money bills act.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also mostly covered with Mr. Swart. Honourable Swart, what my question is specific on page 3 of 11, Public Works. I will, year after year, the same situation. Sorry? Yeah, Public Works. Year after year, we have the same situation. That's about lack of sufficient technical and management capacity. Now, my question is, nothing I think other member of the NCOP mentioned also yes. Also the same every year, the invoices are late, the departments complain, invoices are late. Now, my question to Treasury is, what are they doing to address this issue? The second question on that same thing, Public Works, is failure by municipalities and provinces to meet quarterly EPW issue. What are the department, what are Treasury to address this issue? Because that is a problem. But the problem is every year the same problem. Now, I think it is time to act perhaps more vigorously on this thing. And then, the other thing of the invoices invoices, most of the departments said they receive invoices late from public works. What are Treasury to address this issue? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chair. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. As Treasury has these people reporting back to it, do you actually look into the performance, or you only look at the spending pattern and trend and not actual performance? I think on page one, police and justice, at one time, we were told by the Public Service Commission, justice in particular, that half of their budget is being used to pay for litigation. And I think that's true. Do you look into that type of spending as spending that the department should be doing for performance? What type of expenditure do you call that? Because it's not a once-off, but it seems to be something that is more or less ongoing. A more contentious question now that I would like to check on. Treasury monitors the guards. Who guards the guards? Maybe we also need to call Treasury and ask on the spending patterns with respect to Treasury. Thank you.
But you forgot that we did call them last year. We did she was here to account about their own spending. You remember? Last year, we will call them every day. because clearly there are questions that they need to answer. But I think this question must still be responded to. Who cuts the cuts?
Thank you, Chairperson. I was covered by under public works because several members referred to it. I would just like to know under treasure the neighborhood development partnership grant, as it is understood. And under human settlement, we see that rural household infrastructure grant is also low spending. I would like to know the impact of this neighborhood development grant on the slow spending of this program on rural household infrastructure grant. Because if we develop that aspect, I think this grant from National Treasury should definitely have impact because of this integration system. I just want to understand the impact of it.
Thank you, Honorable Ramachandra.
Sir, thanks very much, and Treasury for report. I probably, Chair, just quick questions would be also in addition to other questions that has been asked by other members. The there is insufficient technical skills and management that has been raised generally as one of the problems, that is problems in terms of expenditure or even services. I don't understand whether the department are able to give Treasury, when they use that word, exactly what is the problem. Public Works raises that problem, or just a template of response. Normally that is presented as a way of responding to the problem. Now, then then the second one, I think I just want to ask in the vote, I think it's vote 9. There's something about the possible under expenditure, 2 to 3 billion, that as a result, again, it's a more or less the same issue of the technical assistance. But the technical assistance is not explained. We don't understand what you're talking about. That will result into 2 to 3 billion under expenditure. So if perhaps you could explain that on that same page, the integrated financial system, you say the slowness in the implementation. Now, I don't know, is that integrated financial management system complete? Is it done as a plan? Is it implemented? Is it working? Or is it a consolidation, still at a level of consolidation, what may be done that is still under lots of negotiations? I just want to understand because you say it's level of the implementation of that. Then on vote 15, I also just want to understand the issue about the lifeline. I think members have explained this. Now, and I want to link this with the question I want to ask later at the lack of repeat, lack of expenditure of the program, and the explanation of the same thing. What are the consequences for that particular allocation with respect to other programs, suffering programs? That is the issue about revitalization. Vote 14, I just want to ask this question about the workbook 1 and 2 and the expenditure and lack and the less of expenditure thereon. Can you please explain this or re-clarify? Earlier, when we had the department, I think it was last year, there was an issue about the learning curve, in-house capacity, development around the issues of workbook 1, and the sampling, and not necessarily the rollout. And we asked the question in terms of the financial question. What does it mean in terms of what is in budgeted, under expenditure or over expenditure? That question was never answered. Now, and the question of the tender was also mentioned that as a result of in-house, the tender has been cancelled, it's no longer. Now, I just want to understand, is the tender, was the tender reissued for the workbook 1 in terms of the rollout? Or was it simply just in-house development? Because it's quite a confusing subject. Because when you were reading and following the trends in the media, the issue of the delay of the school open was the workbook and the tenders and et cetera, et cetera. So was the tender reissued, and do you have knowledge of that? I mean, we can take that question further with the respective department. But just in terms of your presentation, you also did mention that the tender was cancelled and there's now internal capacity that we're going to be followed. Now, just on the 24 police, there is an issue about the slowness of procurement with regard to CETA, etc., etc. Now, I just want to understand the brief. You are aware of the brief in terms of the procurement that's supposed to be rolled out by CETA as treasury, because you have also responsibility around the issue of proper expenditure. Now, what does this mean in terms of the procurement in your understanding? There is a multi-year budgeting, and we know what's going to happen next year, and we know how to plan for next year. So I'm just curious to understand that language. Treasury only owed 25. Thank you for the advice that we need to watch the agency issue, that issue about the swine fever thing, the emergency one. But what I want to understand is the sentence that is written. It says if the money just came in, the treasury did have enough money in the purse, they just gave the money, the department did not make it. It doesn't read as if the department actually requested this based on what they were seeing as a challenge. And therefore, there was a plan to implement it. So when you write it, when you write a report for the committee, and you take ownership of this report, so I just want to understand that that which was included in the adjustment estimate, which is the department is saying, you gave us additional money in adjustment later in the year, which, quite frankly, we didn't need it. We didn't know what to do with this money, but you called it the swine flu. Is it a fact? Or was a presentation and request made? So I'm just wanting to understand this language. The last two points. The one is human settlement, the issue of expenditure in terms of the transfer. There is this thing I just want to understand, the rehabilitation program of the what you call the substandard housing, for lack of a better term, those that were taken down, broken down. Where is the rehabilitation of those assets?
I'm sorry, Olaf Lamasaga. Now you're getting deep now into the matters of human settlement, which are not necessarily covered here. We all know what you're talking about.
Yes.
No one can say doesn't know, but I think that I'm not sure if what you're talking is really what's it going
to be. I'll reserve that to the department.
Yes, let's reserve it for the department.
I'll reserve that detail to the department.
I think it's a very important question, but let's have to reserve for the department.
But if President Chalala wants to respond to the question, they may.
Madam, I don't want to assume, which is how it was. Okay.
I think there are your questions, and I suspect that these questions are raised in terms of Section 6 of the PFMA, which requires you, to the extent necessary to perform the function mentioned in such Section 1, not all further, must, amongst others, I'm just adding myself, amongst others, must monitor and assess implementation of this Act, including any prescribed norms and standards, and blah, 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 must assist departments and constitutional institutions in building their capacity for efficient, effective, and transparent financial management. And 2G says, National Treasury may do anything further that is necessary to fulfill its responsibilities effectively. Now, I do understand that National Treasury doesn't want to be a super department, but the public PFMA gives you, allocates a certain responsibility and the constitution. I think that now, that's why maybe the members have difficulty to
to distinguish between yourself
and the departments, because the national members understand that national treasurer has a responsibility, actually, to a certain extent, to monitor those departments are fully fledged departments. They have accounting officers, everything. So they have a fully fledged department. We will invite them. Can I invite you for comment?
Thank you very much. Well, there's a lot of issues that have been raised, some very good points made. I'm not going to be able to, we won't be able to give full answers to all the questions, and in some cases we'll need to follow up with departments, or issues will perhaps need to be deferred until the committee is able to meet with departments. But let me start with a general question which Honourable De Beer raised about what we do when we are confronted with underspending by departments. Does the Treasury intervene? Do we follow up with departments? And the answer is particularly during the budget process, during the September-October period when we are in discussion with departments about the following year's spending plan, to the extent that we have information, we certainly bring that into the discussions with departments. The timing is a bit awkward. You can see how at that stage we have information on the first quarter, but the first quarter is often not very helpful, and sometimes provisional information up to the second quarter. If we could do next year's budget now on the basis of the third year numbers, it would be better informed. But in fact, spending recommendations, MTF recommendations, have to go to Cabinet by November, December. So we do follow up, and in the early stages of the budget process, in the preliminary discussions between Treasury and other departments that happen usually in April and May, the outcomes for the previous year are used extensively. Obviously, it varies from department to department. But that's the process we follow in, and in extreme cases, we will write to a department and ask for explanation or advise the minister of issues that he needs to raise with his colleagues. Not just issues of underspending, often also, and I welcome the point made that it's not just the financial numbers that we have to be interested in, it's also information about service delivery and performance. Sometimes the issues we'll raise with departments will be about effective performance and value for money relative to spending, and that relies on information about service delivery, not just these financial reports. Do we get trends of spending, or does the general reports, things like the specifics of the health department's love life spending, or the hospital revitalization, as mentioned by several members, the integrated justice modernization program was mentioned. Yes, in certainly in those cases, I can tell you that the Treasury officials dealing with those departments, dealing with justice, dealing with police, dealing with the health department, monitor those specific programs. We are involved in discussions with the CFO of the health department around the hospital revitalization program, for example, around their difficulties with public works department. And in a case like hospital revitalization, which is a grant that flows through provincial departments, so the provincial public works departments, provincial health departments that are involved, our intergovernmental relations teams, when they meet with provincial treasuries, also follow up on that. I'm jumping around a bit in respect of questions, but the important point was made, really in several remarks by members, about the difference between a transfer and the actual spending in respect of human settlements. There are transfers to the provincial housing funds in respect of the health grants. There are transfers to provinces. That's a different thing from the actual spending on projects. In the quarterly reporting and the members who speak on the NCOP committees will be familiar with this. In the reporting on provincial finances,
we now have an obligation, we have imposed an obligation on transferring offices, the national departments that transfer funds to provinces, to report not just on those transfers, but also to obtain reports from provinces on the actual spending of that money. And so you will find in those reports on provincial spending tables that show the transfer and then the corresponding spending by provinces on projects like the hospital revitalization, the housing programs. That isn't enough because in the case of housing, transfers may well then move from provincial housing funds to municipalities. So you need to track through to the spending by municipalities themselves. I think the flow of information is not yet complete in all of these grants, but the point is well made and certainly something that we follow up on. In the end, you've got to track right through to the spending. It's not just the transfers that that are of interest. But that information is not in this report. That information is in the reports on provincial spending that the intergovernmental relations team puts together. So do we have mechanisms for going deeper into departmental spending? I mean, the answer is yes, but I would not want to give the impression that we think our mechanisms are adequate or complete yet. There certainly is more that needs to be done, and the development of this really quite new database that gives us information broken down by the individual transfers, by the subcomponents of programs, is an important step forward, and we will over the year ahead be putting more work into following up on the specifics of spending programs, spending flows that are reflected in these numbers. Honourable Machino raised the question of how we link up with DPME, with new performance monitoring and evaluation department. It's early days there, but we have contributed to DPME's development of monitoring tools and data sets by providing the financial management information systems, and we're in discussion with them about how those can be improved. The ideal is that you want financial management information that corresponds tidily with the performance information, but getting that correspondence is not straightforward. It's easier in some areas than in others. In an area of spending like social grants, it's pretty straightforward. You have the categories of grants, you add up the numbers of people who are receiving them, and you can break that down by provinces. You can look at different trends over time. That's the link between the spending and the grant itself is fairly straightforward. In areas like municipal infrastructure development, in areas like trade and industry, where incentive programs may have indirect, longer-term intended outcomes in business development and job creation, tracking the links between the spending and the outcomes is harder work, and there we are, I suppose we'd have to say, at an early stage of developing the necessary tools. But the answer is yes, we're working closely with DPME, and as they build their capacity, we will, I'm sure, contribute further to their systems and their reporting models. Technical capacity excuses by departments are not good enough. I think I heard that sort of comment being made by several members, and I think that is exactly right. But behind technical capacity issues, the easiest response to say to give when there's underspending is to say, "Oh well, we didn't have the technical capacity to do it." One does have to dig deeper into that, and I think that when you do that, you find the underlying problems are not always the same, and they're not always about skills. Sometimes they're about projects that perhaps were overambitious in their design and turned out to be impractical, and so you've actually got to ask departments to go back and rethink the delivery arrangements. Again, one can't really report on something like that for 1,000 government programs in one document like that. That's the sort of thing that does require more in-depth questioning of individual departments or programs.
Let me just add a bit more explanation, Chair, on the National Treasury issues that were raised. The NDPG is a specific, quite targeted program of support to now about 90 projects in municipalities. It has been a bit slow getting going because they're quite complicated projects. These are projects in which municipalities are invited to apply for funding, but they have to show that they are not just building things with government money, with the NDPG money. They've got to show that they are also putting effort into bringing private investment into townships and into residential areas in which there is a need for broadening economic participation. And municipalities are not very good at that, so it takes some time for those projects to be designed. But I can say that that there are 90 projects underway there now. We've now seen spending begin to pick up, and so that program over the years ahead, I think, will certainly stabilise in its spending flows. There was a specific problem with IDIP at the end of last year. The IDIP program is run from the National Treasury, but involves the secondment of advisors to provincial departments. Most of the IDIP contracts came to an end at the end of the 2009-10 financial year. And my understanding is that there had been discussions during the previous year or so about provincial treasuries taking over the IDIP programs and budgeting for them directly. But it didn't work out like that, and rather late, in the day, towards the end of those contracts, it was decided with provincial treasuries that the program would continue, that it would not be shifted to provinces, and so there was a delay or a lag in the renewal of those contracts or the new tender process through which appointments were made. So that was the reason for the slow spending in the first half of last year in IDIP. That is a technical support program to provincial departments. I think there are also some issues there about provinces wanting to cooperate or not cooperate with IDIP, wanting to take over responsibility for the technical support, and in some provinces, the relationship between provincial departments and the IDIP program has gone through some challenging times. The signal that is given here that there may be a 2 or 3 billion withholding of the infrastructure grant to provinces is, of course, about a larger flow of money than IDIP itself. IDIP is a technical assistance program. The provincial grant to provinces is a transfer that supports provincial infrastructure spending in health, in education, in roads maintenance, and projects. And as members will know, the provincial spending data shows that there is, in many provincial departments, underspending in infrastructure. In the last financial year, and I think this had to do with quite a lot of turnaround of staff and changes in leadership in provincial departments, there clearly was a slowdown in the award of contracts for infrastructure, and so a flattening off. I don't want to generalize because it does vary from department to department. There are well-performing provincial departments, there are others where spending has certainly been slow. But what is under discussion between the National Treasury and the provincial treasuries is the possibility of withholding some of the infrastructure grant money in recognition of the underspending in provincial infrastructure. This is just a provisional indication, and I can tell you there, I'm not in a position to give the details. Our intergovernmental relations team is responsible for this, but they have certainly been in intensive discussions with provincial treasuries as part of the budget review process that is undertaken in December and January, and so provincial treasuries are certainly being called upon to get more actively involved in strengthening infrastructure spending and ensuring that not just in this last quarter of the year, which is just about finished, but really more importantly, in the year ahead and in the immediate period ahead, we do see a strengthening of infrastructure spending. And the point made was well made, I think, about consulting engineering. There are engineers out there. There is capacity. The problems are about bringing capacity in effective ways. And the IDA project has gone through a renewal of contract now. I think it is it's geared up to strengthen its support to provincial departments in the year ahead. The question was made, the point was made by Honourable Swartz that adjustments are made, many adjustments are made, perhaps they should be more explicitly considered by this committee before they're made, and I think that is a question about the DFMA and its regulations that we should come back to so that we remove any uncertainty about that. I think myself, if I were to give a view, I would say that it would not be practical to eliminate entirely the scope that the PFMA provides for limited violence or limited shifts of money, because in many programs, the specific breakdown of spending between compensation of employees and goods and services, or in an area like industrial development, the breakdown of spending between the different categories of incentive programs cannot be predicted with complete confidence in advance. And so you do need some discretion within the budget process to allow for shifts to be made, particularly within programs where there are larger allocations made for a particular purpose and it's broken down in particular ways to specific incentive programs. There needs to be some capability within the system to adjust those estimates as the year proceeds and as one gets more information about the actual flows. So I think what is in question here is what kind of discretion there should be. And it is true that in many cases there are additional allocations made in the adjustments that are then not spent by the end of the third quarter, that in some cases it looks as if they will not be spent by the end of the year. It's really the final quarter of the year in which adjustment spending does happen. And in respect of unforeseen and unavoidable spending, things like responses to disasters, I think we need to recognize that it is prudent for the fiscus to budget sufficiently for responding to disasters, even when you don't expect to spend it all by the end of March, because you don't want to be in the position, if there are, if you're responding for something like the floods that we were dealing with in December and January, you don't want to be in the position where you get to February and the department says, well, actually, we haven't got the money we need to do emergency repairs to bridges that have to happen. In practice, the repairs to the bridges may carry on into April or May, but it's better to have the money budgeted for. It's better to be able to say to the department, we'll set aside the money, it's there, if you can do the job by the end of March, that's excellent. If it carries on into April or May, we'll provide for that in a rollover. So it's about getting the balance right between tightening the budget but providing sufficient discretion to deal with things that often can't be completely costed when the adjustments budget is put together. And we would certainly welcome the committee's advice on how we get that balance right. I think that it's clear, the questions that have been raised, that it's not quite right yet, so we need to put some work into that. What is Treasury doing about things like late invoices? Often those are things that we will call for explanations from departments for, but in the end, the financial management is the responsibility of CFOs. We can't do all their work for them. We can ask questions, but they do have to get their own financial management in order. On the question of who guards the guard, I suppose the answer is you do. but Treasury within itself also plays something of that role. So the Public Finance Division within Treasury also has a unit that is responsible for engaging with Treasury on Treasury's own spending. The Auditor General plays that role. The Audit Committee plays that role as well. But it's a good point to make. I think it is
quite appropriate that the Finance Committee, perhaps this committee as well, should play a special role in overseeing the spending of the Treasury Department itself. Just to return to the health issues, Love Life, the hospital revitalization program, I would say that there was a new Director General of the National Department of Health appointed just a few months ago. Certainly during last year, we were conscious that the department was holding back on important strategic programs to some extent, recognizing that there was a new DG coming in. And I can certainly, based on my personal interaction with her and with the management and with the Minister of Health, I can certainly say that there is a considerable revitalization of leadership in that department now. I think you will certainly see stronger spending in the period ahead. The Minister in particular gets very closely involved in tracking progress on these big hospital projects, and he certainly is doing playing his role in giving provincial MECs and provincial departments a hard time where spending is lagging behind. On basic education workbooks, I can't comment on the details of the tender, I can't comment on the specifics of those processes, so that would need to be followed up with the department. I can say that it is, although the program was a bit late in getting going, there were allocations last year, it was rolled over into, there were allocations in 2009-10, they were rolled over into last year. I can say that the workbook program is a very impressive one. I've looked at some of the material that's being produced. I think this is a great step forward in providing good quality learning materials in schools. It's a very cost-effective program. They have done well in designing good products and producing material at on a competitive basis at low cost. I think we need to give it time. I think there's been some teething problems still in getting the deliveries done at the beginning of the year. That's often the case. But I do think that this has been a very welcome initiative and will contribute significantly over time to dealing with that education quality issue in basic schooling. I can't comment on the CETA issues in police and justice, and so we would need to get back to the committee on that if you want more specific comments. I would make the same point on the classical swine fever allocations that I've made about floods and bridges. Now, that again, this is a serious intervention. They happen quite quickly. The department needs to have the capacity to respond. But actually providing the compensation to farmers, which is what the part of what the money is for, takes a bit more time getting those assessments right and making compensation payments. Often does carry forward into the following year. That's been the pattern over the years. I think it's likely to continue to be that way. I don't know the answer to how much of the housing development finance grant, the housing development grant, human settlements grant, goes to the rehabilitation of substandard products, and I see there isn't any information on that in the E&E. The department would need itself to respond to that. I think that they, as I understand it, they have set aside some funding for that. The minister has been quoted in the press as signaling that there are very large amounts that are needed for that. I hope they're not quite as large as he's saying, but that information would need to come from human settlement itself. Chair, I may have missed a few things. Robert, did you want to add anything? Okay.
Honourable Minister, I thought you would sit that side. I know that you're used to sitting in a particular side. Now, thank you very much, Mr. Donaldson, about the responses. I don't know, members may want to make follow-up on some of the issues, but I think that the reality is that you can answer, but maybe not fully, as you are not that department. But I think that there are questions, really, that we would like the National Treasurer to to take responsibility. Maybe before I come to some of them, let me just look for any follow-ups from colleagues. I'll start with Comrade Neely, Comrade Mashilho, and Comrade Mashile.
Thank you, President. Thank you, the presenter, Mr.
As usual, for that comprehensive response, a seasoned manager has been around for quite some time. And the understanding where he's coming from, you made mention of the serious contentious issues by the department accusing this particular one, the treasurer, for acting as a big brother to other departments. But I'm happy to say this because it is alluded to the fact that the Constitution enjoins them to do so.
Yeah.
Now, I'm coming. I want to address myself, Chairperson, to a more generic issue, but with particular this issue of transfer. I would like to call them the departments who deal with donor issues. Now, and mention that and link it with the issue we've been complaining about year in, year out, the issue of fiscal dumping. And coming to the treasurer here, Chairperson, will be, you know, there should be a mechanism in place to look at the department A in relation to their DORA or to their transfer, to make sure that the recipient of the fund, first and foremost, they do have capacity, skills, and all the requisites to spend that money. Because at the end of the day, while they will transfer the money and maintain a clean sheet in their books, you will find that that money is there, sitting there. We have situations even in municipalities, huge sum of money sitting there because they just received the money without any capacity to spend it. I have municipality where I come from in KZN. They've been sitting with 1.2 billion, and they've spent only 15%. They've received it 2 years ago, sitting in their bank account. Drug transferred on a particular year because somebody wanted to clean their books. But linked to that, you know, Chairperson, again, this would be partly the role of treasurer, and it relates to the issue again of capacity, because you know all departments, I think by law, though I cannot quote a relevant part. Legislative framework to the in that regard, they do have audit committees. It's very interesting when you read the audit report. You know, they will tell you that we did not meet, but at the end of the day, we are generally happy. And it's a template. It's just a template. We are generally happy.
And
you know, we've been frustrated with this for quite some time. Happy, but the department has a disclaimer. It's a qualified report. There are emphasis, is off matter. And I'm saying, and in most cases, these people
are highly qualified individuals. They are being touted all over. No, they are accountants, they are finance managers and all that. But you find that, and there is no movement. It just stated there, and because I think this just put the two line there. And there's no explanatory note, there's nothing. The two line, we are generally happy with the improvements or the performance of the management, whatever. See, again, that is where a treasury, in my view, should come to play. Charged by the Constitution to do so, and understanding the amazing capacity that department holds. Otherwise, we are moving in a cycle. I believe, Chief President, there should be some sort of a paper trail done by the guard, if you like, by the guard, to make sure that the recipient really does have the capacity to spend the money received. Thank you, President.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am not happy about the response on the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, but I think it needs a follow-up directly with human settlement. I don't know, because I was actually referring to the rural household infrastructure and the impact of this. Now, if you say the municipalities must apply for this neighborhood development partnership grant, then it still leaves the rural household infrastructure grant. I think that question then will have to go to human settlement. And I think I'd like to support Honorable Mugisi, because I think we need stronger action from whoever, and I think then it should have to come from us as parliamentarians, where we have tried very hard to have discussions with the department, follow up with letters, and even engage ministers, that we should also go to those people who we had discussions with, and they explained to us in firmer hands, maybe by committing themselves somewhere that we've had and we haven't acted, then what should we do? Because I think firmer action is needed for the benefit of the people outside there and a better life for us. Thank
you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think there is one issue that we just wanted to explain the content of the question, because it looks like Chief Mr. Donaldson, I think, misunderstood the intention. Because the intention of the question on the outstanding invoices is in relation to work done, which is not reflected as an expenditure because the invoices have not been processed. Now, what I was saying is, does the current system of reporting from the relevant department also include that particular information on outstanding invoices? If not, then we are requesting that probably we must start working out a plan that we extract that kind of information so that we know that Department X has spent 80%, but it has got outstanding invoices that amount to 5% or 10%. Therefore, we know actually the outstanding work and work that has been done, but it may not have been paid, because those are different issues altogether. And then the other thing is, I'm sure the Chairperson is that we have been in finance for quite a long time and we have been debating this thing. And probably it still doesn't make sense. You see, in terms of the PFMA, we understand that Treasury should intervene and assist. Intervene in time,
are seized. But Treasury in many cases has been interested in intervening by holding funds. Now, I'm a politician, I'm not an administrator. I'm a politician. The problem is that now the 2 billion or 3 billion infrastructure grant, that there is a possibility of that to be withheld. How many job opportunities are withheld? That's my problem. I'm not an administrator, I'm not a CEO. The problem is that when you withhold the 2 billion on infrastructure that we don't implement, how many job opportunities are we stopping? That becomes my problem. So, one will really need to understand the interventions or the timeous interventions that actually make the government system to flow and deliver the services as and when it's required. And I still wanted to raise that particular matter, Mr. Donaldson, on the very section of treasure, national treasure. That way, the limited number of appropriately qualified consultants, that is misleading. That is misleading. If it is not a cut and paste problem, it is misleading. Thanks.
Could I make an intervention? I think that we did indicate that perhaps this meeting, it was not meant to exhaust these issues. But the purpose of this meeting is for National Treasury to say to us, to flag to the committees, these are the, what you call it, this is the report, third quarterly report, and these are the issues that are out there, so that for the committee to pay attention to particular, what you call it, issues that have been, what you call it, raised, and that National Treasury is also has noted and give us the report based on that. I think that, honourable members, now the way forward is to, you went to what you call the comp before, because I was just trying to clarify the thing with your cabinet. Also, the question that I wanted to raise later from National Treasury, which Mr. Donaldson, I thought that it had worked for the committee, is in terms of, for instance, you were speaking about the officials that are responsible for particular clusters or departments that normally seem to be having more information. I'm not sure whether in the part of restructuring or reforming your ways of reporting or improving ways of reporting, you thought that maybe that's not very necessary that they should come, but we have found as a committee that process to be very, what you call it, useful for people who deal closely with those departments with information. But the maybe before I go to other matters, I should allow Honorable Tibia.
Chairperson, thank you. Just a matter of clarity. Does this information that we dealt with this morning also go to the portfolio committees and other select committees on the different budgets? Because it's very important. When they deal with quarterly reports and performance management, that is valuable information for that specific committee to do their work more effective and efficient. And I want to think further, maybe in future, but then this room is too small, where those chairpersons of those committees be present as well to get a picture of what is going on in terms of the spending, and then from here go back to the committees to deal with the different issues. I'm just thinking aloud. The integration of the work coming from this committee. It just came to my mind.
I think that members are there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me first deal with Mr. Mashida's questions. I had missed his questions and not responded to them adequately in the first round. And he raises a very important point about outstanding invoices. And indeed, that relates to De Beers' point as well, is that if this information goes into portfolio committees, then we need to anticipate that departments will come back and say, oh, well, that misrepresents the position because we've got these invoices and they were going to be paid in January and so on. So we do need to understand that what you're seeing here is the cash numbers. Now, Honorable Rashida's question was, do we have the information about, the accrual numbers, the invoices that are not reflected here? And the answer is yes. The financial management system does oblige departments to keep a record of invoices that have come in and commitments. It is not reported on in the quarterly or monthly reporting system. It is reported on in the annual report, so that in the financial statements that are published at the end of the financial year, you will see there are notes and elaborations that include accruals, that include invoices due, and so it's possible from those annual financial statements to reconcile back to an accrual-based position. But the information systems are not geared up to do that on a monthly and quarterly basis, and indeed when you think about it, the information requirements would be very challenging, and so that is a reform for the future. If we reach the stage of a full accrual-based system, then you would be looking at numbers that are invoice-based and not cash-based. But we're not there yet, and so that is an important thing to bear in mind in looking at these numbers: is that they don't tell the full story. And that doesn't just apply in respect of transfers to provinces or transfers to municipalities. It also applies in respect of goods and services, where often work has been done, but the invoices are still to be paid, and so the payments are not reflected. That's a very good question. Are there job opportunities that may be foregone by the withholding of money? I think that is not likely to be the case. Certainly, if provinces have picked up their spending so that in the course of this quarter we see that the projects are going ahead, the infrastructure spending is happening, the jobs are being created, then we will not be withholding the money. If it does, and this will be quite an extreme step, if it does get withheld, it will still be available for rollover as provincial projects get underway. But I think the point really is, and what our intergovernmental relations team is saying, is we should not allow ourselves simply to transfer the money as if the work is being done when it's not really being done. But nonetheless, there are quite stringent procedures that have to be followed before anything can be withheld, and so there will certainly be extensive engagement with Treasury, and any suggestion that this would lead to projects being slowed down or job opportunities not being created, I think we would take very seriously, because we clearly don't want to do anything that would have that effect. And Honourable Mashida's point that the limited number of qualified consultants is misleading, I think, is correct. That is a misleading statement, and so we need to tidy up our language on that. Honourable Mashida's question, I forgot to comment on the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, and the position there is that although that grant program has been on the budget for 2 years now, it has not got going. And so we have recognized that there is an administration problem there. I think what has really happened is that events have taken over, and the Minister of Rural Development and the revised mandate of the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs means that some of what was intended in that grant is now being done by that department. And so you will see in next year's budget there is a change in the structure of the allocations. That money is effectively shifted. There is a strengthening of the rural development allocations. And so some of those specific interventions intended to deal with sanitation problems, water problems and services, roads and not being maintained in rural villages, is now beginning to be done partly through employment programs that the Rural Development and Land Affairs Department is underway. So the problem is being dealt with there. It's not part of the NDPG program, and that Rural Development Infrastructure, Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, as you correctly point out, has not got going. We're aware of that. But it's being dealt with in through a change to the allocations in next year's budget. Budget that will be presented next week. I simply would like to take note of the points that were made on the role that Treasury has to play in responding to fiscal dumping. We need mechanisms to ensure that skills are in place. In some respects, those mechanisms are being dealt with. The IDA program does a bit of that, but also the Accountant General's Office has put in place measures through which to accredit or to monitor the capacity of municipalities to deal with their financial management, and similar approach is being taken to the development of training, accreditation of staff, setting standards for what we expect of the financial management teams of departments. We would like progress to be faster in that, but it's not a straightforward matter because it does involve some quite careful engagement with the departments involved, with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and our intention, as I understand it, intention of the Accountant General here, is to provide support in a way that doesn't undermine the accountability and responsibility of departmental accounting officers and CFOs and municipal managers, because you don't want to end up in a position in 5 years' time where everybody says, oh, well, Treasury will come and do all this work. So there is some complexity to getting that right. And if I can conclude, Chair, on the form of the reporting arrangements. We are only a very inadequate representation of Treasury here, and so we don't have all the information that would be needed on the details of individual votes. And in the next reporting, certainly the end-of-year reporting, we will try to have the Chief Directors responsible for each of the teams within Treasury here. They are certainly able to deal with things in more detail. They will be here next week at the time of the budget. There will be a briefing, days spent with committee staff and some engagement, I know, with your committees. So that is an opportunity to follow up on specific issues if you would like to, and if it's necessary to facilitate a discussion, we can do that. Thank you very much.
Would you like to comment on the matter of audit committees, or you want me to put in the vertical?
Was that the department are supposed to have audit committees, but whether those committees exist or what?
Yes.
And what is the role of the
Well, that the Accountant General has that responsibility. There is a team within the Accountant General's office that is supporting departments in establishing committees, participates in many of those committees, and I think that Mr. Nvolo would welcome an opportunity to discuss the progress of that with your committee.
Thank you very much. In fact, also honourable members, I think the question of project committees is not just a choice. It's a must. Section 77 of the PFLA says an audit committee must consist of at least three persons, of whom blah, 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 blah. In other words,
the PFMA prescribes that there must be an audit committee. Maybe we need to follow up on those things. Another time, we did get your apology, yes, but I don't know, before we close, if you want to make any comment. You're fine. You trust the judgment of one of the CDs.
No, he was there for you all the time.
Well, Mr. Clifton?
Thank you, Chair. Just one last input from a sort of logistics side, from my side, for the just for going forward with the committee. I mean, this is a valuable partnership that we're building here. We've been coming to the committee now, I think, for the last couple of years and presenting these reports. And what was particularly helpful on this occasion was for your committee to ask us of our availability beforehand. And I know we decided on a date, which is today, jointly, which really facilitated the availability of this information and Mr. Donaldson today. Unfortunately, because and I know why you made the generous offer of talking about the date and the availability, because we are in the middle of the budget process. But it does help us to, if we can take that, apply that throughout, it does help us to make sure then that we have a full complement of the officials that are necessary for the specific issues that you want to raise. We don't need to bring 8 officials here if we're only focusing on 4 key areas of government, for example. So we don't want to have too many, but we don't want to have too few that are that can't answer all your questions. And it does help to engage on those dates beforehand, and because then we can be more responsive. And also, the last issue that I wanted to mention is Honourable Swartz mentioned the issue of the Money Bills Amendment Act, and making sure that we're in full compliance with that. One of the proposals Mr. Donaldson made just in the opening, I wanted to remind the committee of, was the opportunity that we could set up, maybe through a workshop or something, to look at the program budget structure, to look at the structure of the appropriation bill, make sure that the committee finds that to be an appropriate and useful structure, because the main purpose of the program structure is so that it speaks to the people, it speaks to the public, it speaks to laypersons. As one Honourable Mishila said, we're if you all are politicians and not administrators, then the budget structure should present that perspective. And I think it does quite adequately do that in many areas. That is the purpose of this program budget structure. But if it doesn't, it'll be useful to know about that, and we can make sure that with the committee and the departments who have to live with the budget structure, that can be something that can be negotiated with the department if indeed a change is seen to be useful for oversight and accountability purposes. And that might be something we can schedule during the course of this year with the committee, looking at the 2012-13 budget structures.
Well, thank you very much. We come in from, as you may know, from the strategic planning meeting. And one issue that was raised, I think in the resolution of the committee, that precisely what you're talking about, this continuous engagement between ourselves, also in clarifying those areas that we think that are important in order to improve the work of this committee and the relationship that you're talking about. Maybe just in closing, some of the issues maybe that we should have raised, maybe we didn't, what you call the raise, the accuracy of every figure, I think it's important to look at that. Maybe we didn't raise. For instance, there is a confusion around the public works. There is a report where it says public works on page 2, vote 6, at December 2010, public works had spent that amount of 50.6% of their trust debt against a drawing benchmark of 56.5%. On the next page, on the page of the expenditure of the department, public workers spend 71.7%. Now, it's not clear now whether the 71.7% is related to the original budget or whether to the adjusted budget. So I think it's important that to clear some of those things. I think I did see another one. I can't be what you call the sure of. One of the issues that worries the committee, you know, is to come and sit here and spend a lot of time and find that at the end of the day, this does not seem to contribute to improvement in the, especially in budgeting and delivery. We had before, for instance, to hear that the Department of Home Affairs, for instance, is looking at restructuring. It was called vote one budget. So that to us, we worry, we ask the department every day whether a particular item, is it an administrative issue or is it not a capital issue? Because also one department puts it as part of capital expenditure. Not one department, when they talk capital, for instance, they talk about acquiring ICT. Now, some departments, they put them as a part of administration. So at least, I mean, we would be happy to have some kind of a uniformity, understanding what is meant by administration. Is administration for the Department of Home Affairs, if you go to Department of Public Works, for instance, would it mean one and the same thing? So I think that those issues to us are important. I'm sure National Federal will come, will invite those people who are supposed to comment on the spending item of National Federal. But I think we, as a committee, we did have this, honorable members, remember last year a meeting where this neighborhood development partnership grant was an issue, and clearly it continues from one city, it continues to be an issue of exactly how it went. Maybe part of this engagement of workshopping, clearing some of these issues, it would be important to include it there so that all of us, we understand exactly how does it work, and then we are able to evaluate whether is it important, is it contributing to what we want to achieve or not. I think that those are the particular issues, but also some of the issues that we would want to work with you going forward. In fact, before I come to that issue of integration, that's the issue of withholding. We're going to go to the Division of Revenue. Mostly it's in the Division of Revenue, where I suppose that clause of withholding will come up again. And the question that really boggles the committee is this withholding. If we withhold funds from the province that did not deliver in housing, who does it serve? Does it serve the interests of the beneficiaries of those houses in the province? Or does the official who is sitting comfortable in his office not doing what he's supposed to do or acquiring the necessary what is called the resources and the capacity in order to deliver? we are not of the opinion that it said in the interest of those people that the resources were intended to. And maybe together we should find a way, whether it's in the PFMA or somewhere, to say how do we isolate this issue of withholding of funds so that we can really deal with the culprit and don't make the poor recipients and beneficiaries suffer because the officials have not done their work. I think that is an issue that we need to, as you call it, to take it together. The other issue that has been raised here this morning was touched on. Maybe it was not raised, but it was touched on. Is the issue of environment. Within the workshop, if you may let you know, we have had the workshop with the accountant general around the issue of environment and adjustment. And I think maybe again, we will need continuous engagement around it so that we can be satisfied that the environment are, to support the fact that the PFMA gives the National Treasury and the department discretion to approve them and why. But what is the role of Parliament? Because yes, in the adjustment during the adjustment time, Parliament must approve those requirements. But we do not know to what extent is National Treasury monitoring this use of requirements. Because to us, it seems like there's just a very laissez-faire way, like, of applying the environment. The question that it really begs is the credibility of the budget. Is the budget credible, or do people just budget so that for the sake of budgeting, knowing that at the end they want to shift the what you call abuse funds anyway around? Why are we not informed from the beginning that this budget is not credible? We're looking for environment. We really want to find a way of, with National Treasury, of saying that how do we monitor this issue of environment? How do we make this budget credible? And related to that is planning. Has it got to do with planning? The Divisional Revenue requires that departments, especially those who deal with the infrastructure, must plan ahead by August or so. Are those what you call it really working? What is it that really did to the environment and whatnot? We're not saying that they will not be there altogether, but we're saying to what extent can we ensure that they are managed. But just the final thing, Comrade Javier, around the question of that you raised about integration of this process with the portfolio committees. I think you were right to say if we had to invite all the portfolio committees affected, would have to meet, whether it's at the old assembly or in the house, and that it would become the speaker, that he would sit in the speaker. But the way we are approaching it, and together, because we're all involved in this question of appropriation, is that today's meeting, we take it as a briefing by National Treasury for the committee. But from here, when we invite when we decide which committees we think that should be invited, we invite portfolio committees. For instance, in all these issues that have been identified here, understanding, I can assure you that we will invite the portfolio committees about them. In fact, I've already sensitized a staff of the chairperson because of what I picked up that we would like to call invite them, because as the appropriation and finance committees, we can't think that we can do everything. We can do so much. The real oversight resides there, ensuring that the follow-ups are done. Over 30 departments, we can't do that alone without involving our But the issue maybe to us as Parliament is, if we do that and this perpetuates, how do we do that? But I think that as a study group, we, not as a study group, I'm sorry, we're from the strategic planning. We have looked at those things, and I think that you must get that report. You must make it available to yourself. Honourable members, I think that we have this part of the briefing. I think that we're done. We must thank the department for coming and engaging with us. We will, when we take the process forward, let you know who are we inviting, so that perhaps the relevant officials may also be present. Honored members, I think that we have seen the briefing. What would like to, the suggestion perhaps that would like from yourselves is not necessary now, is the people that we should be inviting. I mean, there are serious, what you call it, underspending elsewhere. And it's very important that we invite these departments, because the next thing that you'll find at the end of the fourth quarter, everybody will have spent 100% or 99%. In fact, the other question which Nasser could assist us with in future, which I've noticed going through this, that other departments have spent already over 100% of their budget. What happens going forward is we are still at the end of the third quarter, not fourth quarter. Is it the issue of accrual? To what extent we, what you call it, allow it? But if that's a comment now, we don't need your, what you call it, your response now, unless you give us in writing. Are you the deputy chairperson of the
executive chairperson?
I
need to propose that maybe the management of the two committees should actually look at the report.
Let's hold.
And
that's why it's not a correct. Can you switch off? That's what, maybe it's fine. Let's close the meeting at this stage. And then, unless honourable members, there are other issues that we want to raise. If not, this meeting stands adjourned. We're not.